Hello, this is Josh Hinken from SandbagFitnessSystems.com, and today I'm very, very excited to welcome in Anthony DeLuglio. Anthony, I butcher your name constantly, and I appreciate you taking the time to be with us today. Anthony is probably one of the most innovative coaches out there right now, both in kettlebells and just general fitness training. Many of you may know his Art of Strength website. Very cool, constantly new information. So, Anthony, I want to take a moment to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us today.
Oh, it's my pleasure, man. Are you kidding?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm totally psyched because you and I have gone back a ways. We did, 2003, I think, was both our first kettlebell certification.
Yeah. So, wow. Yeah, forever ago.
I always say we had an all-star class, so... Very cool to have you, and you've been very busy since then, huh?
It has been nonstop since then. I mean, once I got a hold of that education, and I saw the results that you could get with it for just absolutely everyone, from the average mainstream client to a young athlete to professional athletes, a job had to get done, and I just have not stopped since that day. To be honest with you.
Now, you know, just to get to the beginning, because everyone likes to know, you know, how we all got down our paths. You know, what you've been training, I read your bio a little bit, you were training cross in Sweden for a while, and then you came back. And what made you get into kettlebell specifically?
I'll tell you, it's an interesting story. When I trained in Sweden, in Stockholm, I saw a different side of fitness. I had never been a trainer prior. I was always into fitness. I was a runner. Cyclist, played lacrosse and played all the sports, but I did it in the United States. Working out in Stockholm, there was a different edge or philosophy, if you will, to the way people worked out. They did it truly, and I mentioned this to someone recently in a conversation, I think it was Greg Cook, they did it as a lifestyle. We talk about bringing fitness into our lifestyle. They actually have it as a lifestyle. They cross-country ski to work in the winter. Everyone rides a bike. So there's always a reason to stay fit. And it wasn't about weight loss, and it was more about health, well-being, and lifestyle. So knowing that, and many of the workouts and some of the philosophies that I saw were a little bit outside the box, just a touch outside the box, no kettlebells, just different enough for me to say, boy, imagine if we trained like this in the United States, the shape that people would be in. But it was really the fact that they took it more seriously than we do. You know, they didn't have some of the state of the art equipment that we have. They don't have the obesity rate that we had. Again, it was just a different approach. So I was intrigued as hell with that. When I came back to the United States and I watched the way people worked out, there was a complete disconnect for me. I said, wow, this is awful. We're in sad, sad shape. Our gyms are terrible. They're just meat markets for picking up clients. As a trainer, you know how it goes. If you work in a big mainstream gym, you see these, trainers constantly hitting on new clients trying to sell sessions. So that was new for me. I had never seen that before. Then I was getting out of the business completely. Now, this is back in 2001. I'm out. I'm going to open up a restaurant because that was my background. And my sister that year, 2001, bought me a kettlebell for Christmas. Changed everything. Bells went off. I was like, oh, man, this is it. This brought me back to that philosophy that I learned in Sweden and that edge that they had for me with the rest of the world. And I quickly adapted to the concept and started to get my head around it. I had met an older gentleman in a place I was working. I was actually working at the Jewish Community Center in Providence. And I met this gentleman, his name was David. The guy was, at the time, this was back in 2001, the guy was 81 at the time. And I saw this man deadlift, he weighed 145 pounds, I saw this man deadlift over 350 pounds.
Wow.
I was fascinated. I went up to him a few times and I said, David, how did you learn how to do that? That's almost double your body weight. Or more than double your body weight. And he started to explain to me, and again, it goes right back to that Swedish philosophy and that European philosophy. He started to talk like my friends in Sweden on how it was just part of his life. This is just what he did, and this is what made him feel good and kept his body healthy. Then I saw him starting doing what looked like what we now know as a snatch with a dumbbell. He did it with a dumbbell. We would, you know, obviously we do it with kettlebells. He starts doing dumbbell snatches with an 80-pound dumbbell. I'm like, wow, what the hell? How is this man this strong? That's what I was fascinated with, his strength, his size and his strength. 145 pounds, 81 years old, doing things that most young men could not do. Well, I walked into the gym months later with a kettlebell. The guy started to cry. He's like, this is what I've been trying to explain to you. This is what we used in Europe when I was in the army as a boy. He said, this is what I used. I haven't seen one in 60 years.
Wow.
So then we started to rip down some kettlebell drills, and he showed me how to do the swing, and he showed me how to do all these things. So I immediately started to use it. I used it with all my clients because now I had some education. Because I wasn't that familiar with Pavel at the time. Then I found out about Pavel's certification. I went to the certification with the same one that you were at, and like you said, that was certainly an all-star class. I don't think they've had one since that was like that. At least the difference that we've all made in the fitness industry. I think that's a good way to look at, you know, that class. We were just all fired up, and we haven't stopped. You haven't stopped. I haven't, and many other guys. But that was it, man. That when I saw that old man at 81 years old do these phenomenal, almost like feats of strength, but he did it every day as a workout. This guy could bang out 25, 30 pull-ups, clap his hands on the top,
and wow,
release the bar. It fascinated me. He could run a 6.5-minute mile for 3 miles around a track. No fancy equipment. The guy, it was funny because he used to wear these brown polyester pants and Nike sneakers. I mean, these were vintage. This shit was like the original from way back when. So there's nothing, there's no glamour in it. He just did it because it kept him strong. So I was fascinated with now strength. That was my thing. Is if he can be that strong, and these tools and this philosophy can do that for him, what can it do for the average person? How do we get this in the average child's life and the average kid in the gym so he doesn't waste his time like I did? I wasted years in the gym. I'm sure you did as well, until we found out about all these cool, you know, this other cool way to train. Sandbags, you know, suspension training, kettlebells, you know, thick grip barbells and dumbbells. You know, we just introduced this line of, and this guy used to talk about this, is David just telling me about this. He goes, we used to load our bells with shot. And I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? It's like none of it made sense. We now manufacture a line of bells, but the bulldog barbell, dumbbell, and kettlebell line, where we have people filling these globes with steel shot, thick grip bars, and changing everything. It changes the result of your workout. So that's, you know, long story short, I guess, or short story long, more like it. But that's how it started. And it's just that, like I said, haven't stopped since.
Well, and that's a great story because it seems to be, you know, I've done this with a few people now, people like Steve Maxwell and John Hines and so forth, and it really seems to be the common theme that people that are honestly in great shape don't sit there and think about their body fat percentages per se, or you know, if they have a six-pack or not. They just train because it feels good. They do what their body feels good with, and they train for health and performance, and the cosmetics come with it. Is that something that you find with yourself in your gym?
I tell people right away when they walk into the gym, and this is for years now, we all talk about goals, you know, and I try to help put people on a track of choosing the right goals, choosing the right reason to join a gym like our gym, which is, you know, like I said, way outside the box, using sandbags and all these other alternative methods of training. The first thing is I tell them, don't tell me you want to lose 5 pounds. You tell me you want to lose 5 pounds, I send you to Bally's down the street. I don't want to hear about it. You come up with a realistic goal. I want a life-changing goal for you. What have you always wanted to do in your life? What's something that you've thought about doing and just never thought you could? That's the goal I want. Do you ever think of running a 5K? Do you ever think of doing a mini marathon, a mini triathlon? Do you ever think of going, you know, cycling with your family? It could be anything, you know? So we would choose those goals, and I said, listen, here's how we're going to do this. We're going to get you to perform better at whatever it is that you'd like to achieve. The byproduct of that, you are going to look fantastic. You put this much energy and work into something, you will look tremendous. If you use aesthetics as your goal, I want a six-pack, I want to lose 10 pounds, you're setting yourself up to fail because that's just not a realistic goal. You become obsessed with vanity rather than the result and the feel-good part of this. And that's what you said earlier. you've got to feel and do what your body feels correct in doing. You know, sometimes the progressions that work for me may not work for you. There's no boilerplate workout that says, hey, this workout works for everyone. You know, Bill Phillips tried to pull this off, you know, a bunch of years ago, and I think he did a tremendous job of it, especially marketing it. But that didn't work for everyone. And what it really did was it set people up to fail because he said, here's a 12-week program. Okay. I put people through that. I was actually licensed by Bill Phillips to teach Body for Life in Sweden. So I put people through this 12-week program. At the end of 12 weeks, what do you think happened to almost every single person that went through the program? They gained weight. They went back to their old habits. It wasn't enough of a lifestyle. It was 12 weeks. They looked at it as 12 weeks. There was a beginning and an end. And then they were out. And that's what I think this country, you know, it's a quick fix. That's what this country has been fixated on for many, many years, where a lifestyle approach and big goal setting, you know, there's no before and after picture after a kettlebell workout. You walk around with a 250-pound sandbag in your arms. You don't take your shirt off and take a picture of your abs. You go eat something and go take a nap. That's more like it, you know. It's just a different approach. But I absolutely agree. You know, it's people who really get this, and I explain this to people quite often. There are people that get it, and then people that don't. And the ones that get it, you see results happen very quickly. They don't worry about their waist size any longer. The byproduct is always you will look great, and you'll feel better. And that's really what it boils down to for me.
And I think, you know, that's what you said is really powerful, because I think, you know, people have to understand that not every workout, not every trainer, not every program is for them. And your program seems to be not just, you know, result changing in their physiques, but just in their overall life and how they and their outlook on life. And that's really inspiring. And that's what, you know, gets people motivated, I think, for a lifetime. And, you know, and I want to compliment you because, you know, you and I joke that, you know, we had an all-star class, but really, you know, you more than most out there really did something really unique in that you took, you know, the exercises that we all learned and you started making really creative programs. And I think that's the foundation of your Art of Strength DVDs. Can you talk a little bit about the inspiration to your system and really, you know, what are in all the DVDs and what made you sort of create the system that you have now?
Well, when I learned and hats off to Pavel always, because he was my first teacher. David actually was my first inspiration and I guess teacher in a sense, you know, that old gentleman I talked about, the older gentleman, but Pavel being my first true coach in my life. And I've been coached as a young guy. I was coached, you know, with different sports, but more of a life coach, where he gave me lessons and taught me things that would now ultimately change my life, and I didn't realize that when I first met him. And so I always give credit where credit is due, especially when it comes to him. So Pavel, if you hear this, hats off to you. But when I learned from him, there was a disconnect again, and I use that word quite a bit in this industry because I think they think that happens quite a bit, you know. There was no system. I, at the time, had a full book of clients, and I was already working with kettlebells with them, and I just wanted more. And it wasn't enough. I went to the RKC, and I was, man, I left there, I scratched my head. I'm like, this is not enough. I feel like there's more out there, and I didn't learn it in this weekend. And I can't learn it on their forum, and I couldn't. It didn't make sense. It was too much of a freestyle approach to training, which is okay. But when you bring a new product and a new tool and a new philosophy into a culture like ours, which is, you know, I always say we have a lack of fitness culture, and we do. We used to have a fantastic fitness culture. I wanted something that pulled it together and almost spoon-fed people on exactly how to do this safely. So I wanted to create a good base for people, let them learn properly, because I don't know if you probably have some stories like this. A lot of guys and a lot of women have gotten hurt using kettlebells improperly. Too much, mm-hmm. too soon. They got into it too fast. Of course, we all wanted to use the 88-pound kettlebell and the 32-kilo bell. We all wanted to do high rep snatches because we watched YouTube videos and all the Russians doing all these cool things. Well, those guys, you know, I always say the Russians were born with kettlebells as like pacifiers. You know, they were born with it. It's hardwired in their bodies, in their systems, to understand this type of training. I mean, grandfathers passed down kettlebells from generation to generation, sets of kettlebells. to their sons, and their sons gave it to their sons, and so on. And I know many stories like that. Well, we can't get this, and you know, at the time I was 30 plus years old when I just started training with kettlebells, and you can't just pick up where these guys left off. You've got to start from where they started, which was the basics. So there was no program like that. So I said, all right, how do we do this? I understood the competition style of training, which was to time, high repetition, efficiency. I understood that. Worked with a lot of guys, worked with Andre in Russia, a couple other guys that I worked with in Russia, getting some advice from. I went to my, with my background, which was Thai boxing. I kickboxed as a kid. And everything that my trainer had me do was to time. I worked out to rounds. So I created the kettlebell round years and years ago. Right? It was the punch kettlebell round is what it was called. So I said, okay, we're going to do as much work as we can in 2 minutes. But within the 2 minutes, we'll come up with a progression that works for everyone. So I was trying to come up with a template that I could plug anyone into and change, keep the movement pattern the same, but change the or make it achievable for anyone to do the workout. So I can do the same workout as you. You can take a buddy of yours that maybe he's rehabbing you know, a shoulder injury. He can still do the movement pattern. I might change it slightly. I might change the rep range, but the 2 minute work time is the same for all of us. How hard you work in that 2 minutes, that's up to you. How hard I work, what I get done in that time is up to me. So I created the round. And that's really what became the basic, the base line for all of the DVDs. Within that, I try to choose movement patterns that made sense. Now, it's interesting, going back, I work with a gentleman by the name of Ed Thomas. He's a physical culture historian, if you will. I don't know if you've met this guy. He's phenomenal. He'd be someone you'd like to talk to. And he's got a wonderful message because he knows where fitness started from thousands of years ago. He knows where it went wrong in the past 100 years. He knows the tools and how they were supposed to be used. And it's interesting when you look back at some of the old workouts, and I just came out with a workout called Blast from the Past. It's a downloadable workout, and I took a workout from 1911. It was the first barbell routine ever published. And I tweaked it very, very slightly. All I did was I put some progression to it that made it, again, manageable for anyone to get into and anyone to start with. But I kept the movement patterns the same, and I used all of our thick grip barbells. That's what the old strongmen used to use. And if you look at it, their belief was work every... Now, this is... Imagine writing... I have this in writing, and from 1901 to 1911. Work every plane possible and hit every muscle group possible in every workout. That's a pretty cool concept, right? Back in 1901. So there was no isolation. And by virtue of the tools they used, these guys got strong. Another thing, because again, to go back to what David and I used to talk about was, how the hell did you get this strong? You're 145 pounds, you're lifting double your body weight, and you're just doing things that young men can't do. How did you do it? He did it through these progressions, and he did it by using the simplest of tools. So if you walk in Punch Gym and we actually have one bench, I shouldn't say that, but for the most part, we have no benches, we have no machines, we have no treadmills. If you want to pick a barbell up and put it on your back to do squats, and it weighs 250 pounds, how do you pick up the barbell? That's what these guys had to do. By learning how to just use the tools properly, they got strong. So if you stand a barbell up on end, for instance, and you have to get that on your shoulders, you basically have to get into a position of a windmill, stand up through the windmill pattern, now the bar is on your shoulders, now you squat. Then you have to put it back down again. You don't drop it, you put it back down. You do a windmill, essentially, it looks like a windmill, over to the opposite side, get the bar to the floor, and then place it on the ground. Just by doing so, you get stronger. So I started to look at these movement patterns. I started to look at the progressions the old strongmen used to use, and I started to put it into these programs. And I try to every workout we have has a concept. So Providence, for instance, 14 exercises, 14 different movement patterns. The majority of the rounds we work with a reverse ladder, 5-4-3-2-1. So there's a concept there. That builds a nice solid base. Then we get into Newport, which is what we call sustained strength and speed. Lighter kettlebell required, still only one kettlebell required, but lighter. Combination of two exercises working for time, 30 seconds on the right with two different drills, 30 seconds on the left with two different drills. repeat that a couple of times, creating a 3 to 5 minute round. That's 3 to 5 minutes of nonstop work. So, once again, a concept. Firepower is a concept. Firepower, we took the protocol of a firefighter and what they go through. I actually got on the trucks with these guys and went and, you know, put the mask on and put the tank on, all the equipment, to see what they actually go through during a typical fire. So from the time the alarm goes off, I mimicked the movement patterns that they would go through from the time the alarm goes off to the time they slide down the pole, unload the truck, jump into a fire, taking out ceilings, windows, doors, using axes, using these prods that they would, you know, pop holes in a roof or a ceiling to let smoke in and smoke release, loading the truck back up again. That's firepower. Once again, a concept. So all these things work into each other. So if you did Providence, Newport, and firepower once a week, each workout, you pretty much hit it all. You've got power, speed, endurance, agility. You've got everything required to do anything you have to do in life. You know, and then every other workout has that. We have the 1200 workout, which is, that was just a spoof on, everyone's come out with this, the 300 workout, which drove me a little bit crazy because it was just, you know, it ultimately came from the movie 300, where these guys worked out for 4 or 5 hours a day and one day just said, hey, let's do 300 reps of stuff because we're so freaking bored of all the other stuff we're doing. So that's what they did. Well, 300 reps in Punch Gym is a warm-up. I mean, that could be a warm-up with a series of exercises. So I added up the reps in one of our workouts. It was 1,200 reps. Actually, it's 1,340, but 1,200 actual reps that you do in one workout in 45 minutes. So that's why I call it the 1,200. And I gave a progression to that where we have the beginning phase is 400 reps, the intermediate is 800, and then the advanced is 1,200. So, again, what we've done is just come up with concepts that mimic other things in life, mimic sport. And that's pretty much it. That's the inspiration really is strength, is how do we get stronger? There is a formula to do this, and I didn't make this up on my own. I mean, I literally went back in history and learned how it happened from the beginning of time. And you know, that's what you see today. That's the end result is these products that we have that can, they literally change people's lives by giving them strength in many areas, mind, body. It's pretty cool stuff, and we've changed many, many lives because of it.
Yeah, I've always joked I'm glad that 300 wasn't called 10,000 to be a lot harder of a workout, but...
Yeah, they probably would have come up with it, too.
It would have been a lot more brutal. And it seems, you know, as you're talking, you know, last week I got to talk with Steve Maxwell. And I think Steve's a very innovative coach as well. And you guys have a similar theme that I think is kind of interesting, that you like these, you know, workouts that are time or have an endurance component. And I think a lot of people initially that are, you know, getting the strength training, for example, because you were talking about your friend David, who is immensely mm-hmm. strong, would think, well, I got to train like a powerlifter. I got to train super heavy all the time, and these endurance workouts won't get me strong, and they won't do much for me. You know, can you give a little bit about, you know, what these, you know, type of workouts can do for you outside of just, you know, getting great, you know, general conditioning? What they do for your strength and how that works into your overall scheme of things?
Well, I want to say hi to Steve Maxwell, first of all. He was also another inspiration. I first met him, like you and I both met him at our certification, and he's done great things. He's done, absolutely done great things. And we have similar philosophies. I think where that comes from is the fact that we both owned gyms at the time we learned about this. So we had the R&D center, if you will. You know, we were able to see what worked and what didn't work with this new tool that we were both introduced to, right? So I was able to work with hundreds of clients every single week, hundreds and hundreds of sessions a week, tweaking this idea that I had, you know, going back to the strength idea. So, and for me, when I worked with Body for Life and I worked with other programs and, you know, like you say, you know, if you want to be strong, lift heavy all the time. Let's do a powerlifting program. Let's cycle. We're going to have a different cycle, macro cycles, micro cycles. Listen, life doesn't work like that. That's not how life works. When you're called upon in life, you can't, you didn't, you know, you've got to do what it takes to get through that day. When you have to take care of your family, it's not, you didn't train one way to do that. You do whatever is thrown at you to take care of your family, take care of your life. Well, life is like that. You know, who's to say that you should do upper body on Monday, lower on Tuesday, upper on Wednesday, lower on Tuesday, cardio on the off days? Who said that? Life doesn't ask you that. Life says, we're going to throw you in the fire, and the strong survive. You want success in your life? You've got to be able to figure out on the fly what the hell to do every single day. Now, you organize that, and there are systems that help us organize that, but you never know what's going to be thrown at you. At 5 o'clock in the afternoon, when most people are going home, sometimes our days just start because we were thrown a project and have to kick in high gear and grab that energy. Where do you grab it from? You don't just say, well, geez, I didn't train like this, guys. I've got to go home at 5 o'clock. So we're really training our bodies to that disconnect from what we do every day in life. And I'll go back to the time example. Everything you do in life is to time. Everything. We're going to talk on this phone right now for time. We're going to drive our cars for a distance for time. You work an 8, 10, 12-hour day, 14-hour day. We don't do anything in life for repetition. And if you think about that, that's the way we train. So you really train your body to be ready for anything. And I threw the cardio aspect into this and the endurance, I can't stand the word cardio, but the endurance aspect or the metabolic effect of this training, because that's what life says. If you went out and worked out in a field and you had to gather food or hunt, well, you're doing everything at the same moment. Your heart rate's up, your adrenaline's pumping in some cases if you're a hunter. If you're out in a field and you've got to get get food on the table, there's no repetition to that. It's just time, man. You've got an 8-hour day in that field, and how many reps did you do? How many sets did you do? Would you even think to figure that out? No, you would just work until the job's done. So that's the fitness model, I think, that we have, is it really just simulates real life. And I think Steve Maxwell has a very similar concept and how he got there. Maybe it's the same way I got there. Maybe we through working with clients that had many different needs, we figured out that, boy, this is fantastic. I got the heart rate up. I have a strength training component to this. I've got endurance. I've got speed. I've got plyometric components. All built into one exercise. And, of course, there are hundreds of exercises that also do that. But if I take one exercise like the kettlebell swing and you do it properly, that's one hell of an exercise. So who's to say how many reps you should do? What's the perfect amount? I have no idea. You know, it depends on your goals. So if I say, okay, we're going to swing for 2 minutes, and you're going to do as many swings as you can in 2 minutes, giving yourself a break every 30 seconds. It's a pretty cool concept. It allows everyone to benefit from that swing and get the benefit from this type of training. So it's been very, very interesting on putting a system together for this and combining everything that people need. And we don't talk about flexibility that much, but, you know, joint mobility is built into the exercises. Correctiveness is built into the exercises. I work a lot with Gray Cook, and, you know, Gray and I discussed this quite a bit. What about, you know, correcting people's, what if they can't do something? Well, I found by simply teaching them how to move properly, if I can teach them to do a Turkish get-up, it might not be pretty, but I just teach them how to move in a pattern that they 5 minutes ago could not move in, giving them more shoulder stability and mobility, hip stability and mobility, and I can take every body part and go right through it. But we have tools available to us now that keep people healthy and moving. And one of the things I tell people is the thing that we miss most right now in our fitness culture that we're hopefully getting back to is movement and hard work. We don't move enough and we don't physically work hard enough, and we just don't. I mean, look at you and I. We're working today and we're both sitting on the phone. You'll probably go back to your computer and I'm going to run in my office and get on my computer, and we don't go out work in a field right now. So even us as fitness professionals, we probably don't move enough. I have to build that into my day. I have to build hard work into my day, which is my workout. Now, that's the reality. So if we can get that concept going, it's okay, everybody. We've got to move and work hard a little bit every day, and we'll be healthier and better people for it. That's what we're trying to achieve. So.
Absolutely, and that's a super awesome concept, because I always thought of myself as sort of a gas to the, the corrective strategies of a lot of different programs because, like you, you know, working with people every single day, you know, you find out that, you know, what do people need to do? They need to be taught how to move again. Yep. And it sounds like within your programs that that's what you're actually teaching people. You're teaching people how to be efficient, how to move well again. And that's very cool because that changes people's lives.
Well, you're not a physical therapist. I don't know if you're, I shouldn't assume you're not a physical therapist.
No, I'm not.
Right? Okay. And I'm not a physical therapist.
Right.
So physical therapists have the access to modalities that we don't. And frankly, I wouldn't want to. I'm going to send them to a physical therapist if they need physical therapy. I'm going to send them to a chiropractor if they need chiropractic work. But if you come into the gym, I can at least identify some of those inefficiencies or deficiencies that you might have. And I might be able to address them with my own modalities, which are training tools. And by observing people move, and that's what a trainer is supposed to do. A trainer is supposed to observe and correct. We're not supposed to touch. And it makes me crazy when I see trainers like, even spotting people. It's interesting because how do you spot someone lifting a 150-pound sandbag? You don't. The answer is you just don't. You don't train, you don't spot someone doing, you know, someone's doing a set of kettlebell snatches. You don't spot them. If they can't do it, they work up to being able to do it. You don't help them. It's like, you know, someone told me a long time ago, training to failure is training to fail.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting if you think about that. And that's exactly what we've done. It was we've all trained like bodybuilders. And there's a time and place for that. I'm not making fun. If any bodybuilder listens to this, I think that's I'm fascinated with the sport. It's not for me. It's not the way I like to move. I don't feel good doing that type of workout, but I admire the people that have that discipline to eat that way and get their bodies in that shape. It's not my thing, but hey, listen, it's absolutely admirable that they do it. But the whole world is this country's been training like that for 60 years, 70 years. We've got to stop. We've got to stop. We're not training for competition. We're training for life, and we have to get it back into as a lifestyle. And the more we work behind computers, and the more efficient we get in our technology, the less we will move. The more time we will sit, the less we move. I for one, can't sit. It's something that we do in our culture that it's probably one of the worst things that we do, is just sit too long. And we're destroying our bodies because of it. So we've got to get back to some of the basics. And we coined this term, authentic strength. I actually spent money trademarking it and getting the .com on it and everything else, the domain name. But it's important that people understand. You know, we talk about functional strength. So as soon as I heard functional strength, I laughed. You must feel like this as well. If it's not functional, then just don't do it.
Right.
It doesn't make sense. Now, so I said, but I understand the concept of that. So what can we call that so people can identify with what we do, what you and I do, with the type of tools we use? It's authentic. It's where our physical culture came from, what it was built upon initially. It's authentic methods of strength training. And that's what I'm hoping we'll get back to is calling it and understanding that there are authentic ways to do this that don't have to be expensive or fancy. It's just you've got to have the balls to work hard. And if it's not hard, don't do it. And that doesn't mean heavy necessarily. It's just got to be, you've got to be true to yourself and say, I worked hard today. I changed something in my mind, in my body today because I worked so hard. I pushed myself that hard. I got to another place. And that's what working out is. It's practice, right, for other things in your life. And that I actually learned from Pavel was the idea of practice. I learned it in martial arts. I learned it in kickboxing. And I learned it again in Pavel. And I saw this connection throughout. You know, and I heard it in Sweden, and I heard it in the United States, and I heard it from Pavel, who's from Russia. And it always resonated with me that we really do. Our workouts should be practices. And sure enough, you go back into the old books from the old strongmen, and they talk about it as a practice, not a workout. We don't even know where workout came from, you know. But we'll get there. We'll get this culture back to where it used to be. You know, there's an interesting thing people who weight trained, you were called physical culturists. Isn't that cool?
Mm-hmm.
That's what you and I are called. People who are listening to this that train hard every day were physical culturists. People who change their minds, change their bodies through physical training. We're called physical culturists. A fantastic word is calisthenics. Right? Simple word. We throw it around. We've always used it. Calisthenics. Calisthenics means beautiful strength. Those are things. If we can tap into the ideas that other generations came up with and understood and lived by, if we can just bring some of that forward, you know what? We'll get, and you and I are two people of many right now, but still a handful in the scheme of things that are changing the face of fitness in this country. And I'm proud to say that. I mean, one of my goals has been to change the face of fitness. I'm going to change the way people look at fitness. And hopefully we'll peck away at this, and when we're long gone, they'll remember us and say, geez, those guys, I remember that. And, you know, the early 2000s, these guys were out there every day plugging away, come up with products and programs, and you'll have, you know, high school programs that'll have kettlebells and sandbags and ropes and rings and all cool stuff, you know.
Well, and, you know, what I was going to go to next, because you're definitely changing the face of fitness, but more importantly, are you taking for the Titans 5-0 start?
I would love to take credit for that. I would love to. And I think what's interesting is they're always featuring Kyle Vanderbosch, who is the biggest advocate of kettlebell training and ropes going wild, and they use all the products. They use thick grip barbells, dumbbells. They use it all. They use Bandit's loops. You know, and I didn't get paid for that. They flew me down there. There's no paid endorsement. I don't pay them for this stuff. They really use this. If you go to their training facility, and many teams have gone. Matter of fact, Notre Dame football coaches, Vanderbilt, University of New Mexico, they're all visiting the Titans Training Center to see how they train with all these unique tools. It's pretty interesting.
Cool.
Yeah, I would love to take credit for that. You can. Matter of fact, I'll tell you what. Maybe they're giving me credit for it. They're flying me down for their Monday Night Football game against the Colts on at the end of October. I think it's October 29th. I get seats on the bench with the guys, so that's pretty cool.
That's very cool. And you know, let me ask you. I mean, that's the biggest testament to, I think, the effectiveness of a program is that, you know, you get that type of result and that type of enthusiasm, you know, from elite athletes. Obviously, you know, people can argue all day. There's lots of ways to, you know, help people get more fit, but, you know, you can really sort of give some foundation to what you're doing by dealing with people that are already very fit. So what was, you know, some of the goals that they had working with athletes that you found that your system was very helpful in achieving?
Well, that's a fantastic question. And people should understand this. Training the everyday person is the most difficult thing to do. You work with clients, you work with people every day. The most difficult thing to do is train that person because they're starting behind the eight ball in most cases. You walk into an elite center like the Titans or the Celtics we just started to work with the Raiders, but the Titans especially, those guys are already in the best shape of their life. They got paid for that. They got paid millions of dollars to be that way. You can't teach them. Here's exactly what I told these guys. They filmed this for NFL Network. I said, guys, I am not here to put 50 pounds on your bench. I'm not here to put 100 pounds on your deadlift. And I'm definitely not here to make you a better football player. You did that all by yourself. These strength coaches here and your talents got you to where you are today. What I am here to do is introduce a program to you that's going to make you more resilient. It's going to make you a more confident football player. It will make you a stronger person, and it will get you to become resilient in the respect of you get hurt on that field, you're going to bounce back a lot faster. You're going to hit harder, and you're going to run faster with more confidence. You're going to play with more confidence. And you know what? That's exactly what these guys have come back and told me. They said, you know what? Remember that first thing you told us? You're absolutely right. But I am stronger. I did put 50 pounds on my bench. I did put 100 pounds on my deadlift. And I am more resilient, and I am a better person and better football player because of it. Now that is the best compliment that I've ever gotten in this industry in my career, because that's what an elite athlete, all the strength coaches do at that level, is try to prevent injury. That's all they do. And
absolutely.
When I learned that, and I said, because I asked Jason Novak, who is the strength coach, assistant strength coach, and Steve Watterson is the head strength coach, and Steve has been with the Titans for like 20-plus years, been in the NFL for 26, I think 22 of them were the Titans. And he said, our job really is to keep these guys safe. And when they train in this gym right here, we just want to make sure they do it safely just to maintain their fitness level. But what we realized over the past 50 years, and in Steve's case, 20-plus years, guys get hurt the same way all the time. And I said, why do you think? He said, because you've been training them the same way for 20-plus years the wrong way. You're training them one way, and they're playing another. They're playing in movement patterns that they're not training in. I said, look at this. Look at how disconnected their workout is, and then what they do on that field. Not to say what they do you take away. No, they needed another focus. They needed to strengthen connective tissue. They needed to be more explosive. They needed to be able to move in different movement patterns. I mean, I had Kyle Vanderbosch. This guy is an absolute animal. He had just gotten finished with a chest workout. Guy was banging out reps with 350 on an incline bench for reps. 3-4 sets of it, right? And then he would go into some dumbbell flies and things. Came over to me, looked at me, looked down at me, right? He said, hey, coach, want to help me with some new chest, a new chest workout? So, and we have a video of this. It's on Minute of Strength. I gave him an old-style pullover with a 45-pound barbell. Because what I noticed is he's so tight in his shoulders that he couldn't move properly. He walked like a gorilla. So I had him do these old-style pullovers, legs straight up. And a lot of this stuff is probably taboo in the fitness industry, right? If you ask the NSCA or NASM, they'll probably be like, oh, pullovers, oh, those are dangerous for your shoulder. No, bullshit. That exercise is older than dirt. Strongmen did that as a warm-up to warm up their bodies to get ready for some of the feats of strength that they achieved. Then we did a one-arm dumbbell or kettlebell press from the floor, no bench, supported his shoulders. So rather, because his shoulders were massive, I didn't want him to use his shoulders for a chest press, I wanted him to use just his chest. And it was amazing, he struggled. I get on the floor, now I'm 200 pounds, he's like 265. I get on the floor, and I hit 5 reps with a 110-pound dumbbell. He gets on the floor with the 110-pound dumbbell and struggles. He eventually gets it. His central nervous system kicked in and realized what was supposed to happen there. Pick him up off the floor. I let him do a set of 10 push-ups on suspension on our bandage loops, the elevated push-ups. I held one of his feet in the air, so he's fully suspended. You know he had trouble doing 10 push-ups? Because he doesn't train that way. Now he trains that way 3 times a week. We put together a circuit for these guys. Ropes, kettlebells, barbells, dumbbells, strongman logs, 54-man circuit, 9 stations, 6 guys per station. We trained the entire team on a half a football field. It was tremendous. We have a DVD of it. It's pretty cool. I should put it up on the site so people can see it. They all move better because of this training. So that's really the thing, is just to make these guys more resilient and more aware of the way they move on the field and bring that training and those movement patterns into the weight room.
It's funny how the same principles and concepts that apply to these elite athletes are the same things we've been talking about for fitness people. And, I think sometimes people feel so disconnected from the athletes they see on TV, but really they're just people with a lot of the same needs. They may have different genetics and different gifts and have more time to devote, like you mentioned, to
yep.
achieving those things. But really, they often, having worked with a few pro athletes myself, they are often much more similar than they are dislike, the people that we see on an everyday basis.
They truly are. That's true, yeah.
And I also want to give you compliments because Kyle Vanderbosch is having a monster of a year, so you have to take a little credit for that, so a little bit.
Well, that I have to say, and Albert Hainsworth, and I mean, mm-hmm. all the guys, I mean, again, we work with the whole team. It's just, they ate this up. You know what I talked about before? Some people mm-hmm. get it, some people don't. These guys didn't fight it. They got it. And one of the things that the coaches came back to me and said, and even the message came back from Fisher was, we take a lot of professionals in here to try to teach our guys. They teach kickboxing to these guys. They have yoga people come in. They've had Pilates. They've had just different types of powerlifting coaches come in. They've put and exposed these guys to many different types of training. Well, they usually, and this is what they told me, they usually destroy the professional that comes in. They don't last the day, and the guy, the man or the woman is leaving in like tears with his, can't wait to get out of the facility fast enough. And he said, this is the first time that they've welcomed someone with such open arms and then you couldn't get enough and wanted you to stay. I was there for 3 days.
Wow.
Constantly. And I had worked with the coaches prior to that at Punch Gym. So, and worked with a defensive coach, Matt Burke, who's awesome. He is just a superstar. So the special teams coaches, they all took part in this. I trained the chiropractors, the physical therapists for the team. One of the things that we did, and this is interesting, this is very interesting for people that are listening to this to understand. When we train a team like that, and you just said it, the similarities to regular people and the average client, they're just people. They're at a different level in their life of fitness, but what they need to maintain and be stronger is exactly the same. So I decided from day one, when I started to work with any professional team, I said I'm only going to expose them to workouts that we do, workouts that we sell online. I wanted to use the workouts that everyone had access to. So if they said, well, shit, how did you get the Titans in such, you know, how did you get Kyle in such great shape with that? Well, he did the 1200 workout, or he did Providence, he did Newport. I taught the entire team Newport in three separate groups. Newport, they were just smoked. They couldn't believe how difficult these movement patterns were in these exercises. But it got me, what I did as an observation, because that gave me all the movement patterns, and I wanted to see what kind of endurance these guys had. So I just did that as a test for them, and then from there, for the next 2 days, we just worked on everyone's individual needs. But they've only done what the public can buy. I didn't come up with some special Titans program. You know, I didn't do it for the Celtics either. The Celtics use the same workouts that we, you know, that you use, or any of the DVDs or any of the downloadable products. So nothing changed. That's the interesting thing. So when people hear that, they're like, no kidding. So you mean the Titans do Providence? The Titans do Providence at least once a week. So
that's pretty cool. And, you know, and I think, you know, it's just to refresh people's minds that the website is artofstrength.com. And, you know, you have basically a really cool site because, you know, you have some of the most unique products. And then we're getting towards the end. I don't want to take up too much of your time. But I want to talk about the products you have because I always tell when I interview them that the only reason I'm interviewing you is because A, I respect what the work that you're doing, and B, because we use a lot of your tools at my facility. So this, I never use someone who don't use the equipment or their programs myself. So I want you to talk a little bit about, you know, some of the products you have, what made you create some of them, and some of the newer stuff even. I have to admit, I got, you know, pretty excited to order one of your loadable kettlebells. Now, what made you go that route? Talk about maybe, you know, the new form of suspension training you developed, too.
Okay, let's start with the Bulldog barbells. We went back, we talked about the strongmen and strongwomen. That philosophy of training just makes sense. It's the truest form of progressive overload. You know the story about Milo lifting the calf?
Mm-hmm.
And he lifted the calf every day until it became a cow?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Think of the bulldog as the calf, and you turn it into the cow. So take any workout. Take Providence. Take the Providence DVD. It's got 14 different movement patterns, all kettlebell-based, simple progressions, 2 minutes of work, 1 minute rest. For the first week that you do the workout, you're doing it with a loadable bell loaded to about 36 pounds. You start to understand the movements. Every third workout, add an unnoticeable amount of shot. I call it cup a day. A cup of shot is about 2 pounds, pound and a half, 2 pounds, right? You throw that shot in. It's an unnoticeable amount to your body, especially with big movement patterns like snatches and swings and things like that. Every third workout, add another cup. Before you know it, you're playing around with a 50-pound bell from 36 pounds. And if you have the next size up, which is this beast of a bell that we came up with that loads from, it starts out empty at 16 pounds and goes to 147, which is crazy. But that's progressive overload. That's how these guys got that strong. They weren't fixated on the weight that they lifted in their training. They trained and put volume in the muscle over a period of time, adding this unnoticeable amount of weight to be strong in this single repetition of a feat of strength like a bench press. That's how they did it. So I went back and I did exactly that. I worked with all our tools, and I was able to achieve up 200 pounds. And my goal is to do a 200-pound side bent press. I'm up to 175 right now, and there's a video of it online. I do a 175-pound bent press with a 7-foot barbell, loadable with shot. Let me tell you something. It's the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. I mean, one repetition will wipe you out for hours. And I got that way by using moderate amounts of weight in the bulldog kettlebells and barbells with thick grips. I always use a thick grip bar. Just by putting volume in the muscle of different movement patterns, which gave me the ability to do 175-pound bend press. I'm 25 pounds. I'm probably up to maybe I can do another 5 or 8 pounds. Very difficult now at this level. I have a lot of time to train. But soon, I like to do it for Christmas. That was my goal, or for the new year. So that is an incredible line of equipment. It's made in the United States. Very important everyone understands this, too. I'm a stickler about stuff that's made in the U.S. I do sell Perform Better's bells on my site, which some of them are made in China. What we manufacture and we have control over, made right here in the U.S., right here in Rhode Island. So I found artisans and craftsmen to get my design. And matter of fact, I just picked up, I'm still sitting in my car, I just picked up a whole load of barbells to go out to customers today. The suspension training and you know, everyone knows about TRX, and I've actually been just talking to these guys. I use TRX. I use Jungle Gym. I use suspension work. I've used rings since I was a kid. I used to use the traveling rings and parallel rings. I had trouble with the TRX style systems in Punch Gym because they're tough to use. People had a difficult time putting their foot inside the ring, and you had 1 minute to do an exercise. It took you 30 seconds to get your foot in and out of the ring. So I took the ropes that we have, like the ropes going wild, and I made a ring out of it. And actually, when they make this, every strand of rope is braided back together again, and then we epoxy that with a shrink tube, and then we sell it with what looks like a seatbelt strap with an 800-pound test buckle, all made in the United States. Your foot goes in and out very easily. When you're doing pull-ups and push-ups on this ring, you're holding a 2-inch piece of manila rope. It feels like something. You start working your grip more. You feel like you're climbing a tree. You feel like, you ever do a pull-up on a tree? You feel like you're holding onto a branch. So it feels more authentic than these flimsy little, you know, neoprene handles that they give you. I went down to the Titans. They had 3 TRX systems sitting in a corner. I said, how come you guys don't use that? They said, did you ever try to use them? And I said, yeah, that's why I brought you the Bandits loops. They put the Bandits loops up. They use them every single day. They do lunges with them, pull-ups, push-ups. They do absolutely everything, rows, all kind of cool exercises that we've come up with. Ropes Gone Wild has been probably the biggest hit in our business. And from professional athletes, we have high schools buying these things. We've got... We just got an order from Lady of America Gyms. I mean, couldn't get any more mainstream than that, right? where they're doing Ropes Gone Wild. Perform Better put Ropes Gone Wild in their catalog. Now they're a pretty conservative company, so for them, that's another huge compliment to the system that we've come up with. The ropes. Have you tried them? Have you tried the ropes?
Oh, we have your ropes here.
Yeah, there you
Absolutely.
Go. So it just. I mean, what that does is it gave. Matter of fact, Albert Hainsworth, they used that for rehab on him last year when they pulled his hamstring. That was his rehab, was Ropes Going Wild. But the ropes give everyone the ability to get a metabolic effect out of an exercise. So if you're teaching an obese woman or man or child even to do a swing, now, we can teach anyone how to do the swing. I teach someone how to do a swing in 5 minutes, and they'll do it properly and safely. But can they hang on to the bell for the proper amount of time and hold that form to get the metabolic effect that they want for the weight loss? The answer is usually no, right? Because it's just too much volume too soon. So I might have them do a few swings, and then their heart rate didn't get quite high enough where I wanted to because they were fatigued before the metabolic effect hit. So what do? We throw them on the ropes. So now everyone's equal. You on the ropes, everyone's equal to you and you and I, which is very, very cool. So you can take 1 minute on the ropes in 10-second intervals, give people 10 seconds on, 10 seconds off. They've got 30 seconds of good, hard work. They learned how to move differently. They became efficient in their movement patterns. So that's been a huge success for us. I love the product. We made it part of, we have a certification class coming up this Saturday, which we use as a discovery day for Punch Gyms, for franchises. And we've made Ropes Gone Wild and all the authentic strength products we've come up with as part of this class and teaching people how to use these tools. Two products that we also came out with the Diva Bell. Did you see the Diva Bell yet, the pink one?
My assistant got all excited when she saw it.
I'm gonna put I'll get to put a box together for you and get you down some of the other stuff that maybe you don't have yet. But it's women do this as much if not more than men. And sorry guys, but we all suck at training in movement compared to women. Women move more efficiently than men. That's just the way it is. Sorry to say it. But I wanted to design a line that it was woman-friendly. Not every woman needs to play around with a 36-pound kettlebell or a 100-pound dumbbell. They just don't, you know. So we came up with a streamlined version of the Bulldogs, making it in pink. I did a DVD with a woman by the name of Beth Chamberlain from the Guiding Light soap opera. And that became her bell. Because she's taking women, and her goal was to get this in the hands of every woman. So we've created two DVDs with her. The first one is actually a duplication of Providence. It's just with Beth in it. And the second one is a new workout called Empire State. We shot it in Brooklyn just a couple weeks ago. It'll be out in November. We shot it in a penthouse in Brooklyn overlooking Manhattan. Absolutely gorgeous.
Wow.
The Empire State building's in the background, the Williamsburg Bridge, just a beautiful scene. The workout's fantastic. It's got, like, we go from an upper body exercise to a core exercise to a leg exercise with, I want to say we have 12 different rounds. We've got bonus rounds. We've got a bonus DVD in there. But she uses, and has taught women to use, this Diva kettlebell. So they buy one kettlebell at 6 pounds empty. They get to load it up to 26 pounds, and that's plenty for them. That will last them years, you know, because she's taking a woman off the couch who's probably not the fittest woman in the world, and that's been her goal, is to get people moving again. And it's been effective. It's been fantastic. So we're trying to get this in the hands of everyone, making the products user-friendly, you know, freaky in some cases, like, you know, the bell that loads to 147 pounds.
Of course, that's the one I had to order.
Did you order that?
Of course.
Oh, that's just an insane tool. But it's only 16 pounds empty, so really anyone can use it. So, you know, even those bells were originally designed to be corrective. So when I was teaching people how to do swings, what I realized was I was having a tough time getting people to soften the swing. You know, they have this real rigid approach. They pop their hip, and you know where that came from. And it's just too rigid an approach for me. So I said, what if I filled the bell with shot and had people swing the bell? If the bell is silent when it's being swung properly, then you have the perfect swing. So I could actually close my eyes, teach you how to do the swing, and just listen. And people's auditory response is pretty cool, even better than visual. If I say to you, make the shot silent, you automatically do whatever it takes. And it's funny, you see people's bodies compensate for this as they do it, and then they figure it out. Once it's silent, it's the perfect swing. They feel their abs and their glutes and their hamstrings. That's it. No shoulders, no arms, no more front raise, no more jerky snap at the top. Just a nice, smooth pendulum. And so that's how it was developed in the first place. And then you've got the thick grip stuff that just, we've got to get back to using our grip and get rid of this stupid carpal tunnel that people get from using a computer. I mean, it's ridiculous. And the thick grip barbells have and dumbbells have absolutely done that. You know, the newest products that we have is now an insert. We turned Punch into a full-blown franchise, which has been one hell of an undertaking, but it's done. And we also have we have 12 right now, and we've got 6 more ready to open around November. As a matter of fact, the coach from the Titans, Jason Novak, he bought one for Nashville. He's got Punch Nashville. It'll be open in February. We'll probably have 20 more open next year, and we have also the Art of Strength training centers, which are inserts into existing gyms.
Oh, very cool.
And what that gives you the ability to do, and that's a nice one. That's a nice product. It's $6,500. It gives you all the education. We train your entire staff. You buy a huge discount on all of our products, 25% off of everything, and it's basically we ship you that all those products in a box. We take it out. We set it up for you. We give you all the programs to run it, and you're running from 4 to 25-person circuits in your gym within a week.
Phenomenal.
It's awesome. You know, you don't learn all the technicalities of kettlebell training. We don't get into that. That's Punch Gym. But we give you the basics of kettlebell training. We certify one of your people. And, well, you can actually send one of your people for certification. But it gives you ropes going wild, bandits, loops, how to use the barbells, dumbbells, kettlebells, how to incorporate that into a big group X class for mainstream gyms. So we've got a guy coming, we just did one in New York City last week, Mid-City Gym, 42nd Street. We're doing one in Chicago right now, right in the downtown Chicago area. Sean Armstead's coming up. He's the director for Chicago, for Illinois, actually, for NSCA. He just bought one. He'll be open next week. Very, very cool product and been very successful. You know, for the guy or the man or the woman, the personal trainer that you know, they're awesome trainers. They're just not great business people. And I'm sure you've come across this in your career now. And I think we've been able to put the two together. We've established, we've connected ourselves with very talented people. We work with the Thomas Plummer Group. You know, so you get, as part of Punch Gym, you get Tom Plummer's business education, and it's mandatory that you take his courses as part of your franchise fee. So we've made this bulletproof for a young trainer to really establish themselves in this authentic strength market using, you know, you're a preferred vendor. They've got to buy your sandbags if they want to open up a Punch Gym and Auto Strength Training Center. That's where you see some of these orders coming through. That's what they're for. But now we'll have a complete package. As a franchise, I can insist, which is nice. So they have to use Josh's sandbags. They have to use our authentic strength products. And it's for the to get the results that we want, and to use our programs properly, they need these products. So we've got really something for absolutely everyone in this business, and to get into it and not reinvent the wheel. I think what a lot of people are doing is they're watering down what you and I know as this authentic strength concept. You know, are they using sandbags? No, they're using some crazy bag that weighs 5 or 8 pounds, and they're doing the wrong exercises with it, and they're hurting themselves. And, you know, I call it going through the motions. You know, are they using kettlebells? Are they using sandbags? Yeah, they are. Are they using the philosophy of that training? Absolutely not.
And that's, well, that's the heart of it. That's the heart of it.
You know, I tell people it's not about the tool. It's the philosophy and how you use it. I can give you a sandbag. If you don't know what to do with it, what good is it?
Absolutely.
You know, even me, I'm not going to reinvent the wheel. I emailed you the other day and said, listen, send me some sandbag workouts, your own programs, that have been proven successful, so I can integrate them into, even as soon as Friday, when Sean comes up here. Actually, tomorrow he's coming up. Tomorrow and Friday we'll be training together. I want to be able to turn him on to what you do, so that he gets, right from the horse's mouth, he gets the programs that were designed by the guy who invented this thing, you know, not secondhand even by me. I mean, I just fill a bag with 250 pounds of stuff, and I get your bag. I got it up to 250 pounds. I put plates inside of it. I put, it never broke, by the way. It's still
holding
up.
That's pretty good. Because really, you and I have had that discussion. We're about to get ours made in the U.S. as well. So.
Well, that's the point. You know, and that's the other thing. You know, having stuff in the U.S., look at our economy these days. I just got off the phone with Juan Carlos Santana. I don't know if you know Carlos.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just turned him on to a manufacturer here in the U.S. He's pulling some of his product from China. We'll be manufacturing with Perform Better some products in the United States. And it's important. If you can buy U.S., I make sure the quality is above and beyond, way above and beyond. We're buying stuff that's just going to last for a lifetime. And that's what we insist on. And I think if we all pull together, you know, it'll change someone's life. I mean, the guy that makes my barbells and dumbbells, it certainly has changed his business, you know?
Sure.
And that's important. Everyone does just a little bit, we can make a difference, you know?
And just to go back for a second, because, you know, you and I were just joking over me ordering the Beast kettlebell, and I actually had some shot equipment some years ago, and the quality of your equipment seems much better. And really, you know, as you were mentioning before, the goal is not to load these things to as heavy as possible. There's a really unique feel to shot loaded equipment, and, you know, I was sort of smiling as you were talking about the feedback that your clients are getting, because it seems like you're removing the necessity of counting reps and you're focusing on quality of movement, and that's huge. So what I want to do, Anthony, is I don't want to steal any more of your time. I want to just wrap up, and I just want you to sort of fill in people. If they want to start in on your program, if they want to get involved, where's a good place to start? What should they start with? What do they need to have, and how should they go about getting all that?
The easiest thing to do is go to theartofstrength.com. Check out the website. We've got 80 free videos, 81 actually as of yesterday, 81 free videos on how to use our products. They're called Minutes of Strength. You should subscribe to the newsletter for sure. We're constantly giving you free tips on how to use the products, or even your own products. I mean, if you don't buy anything from us, go on the site, and at least you get the proper education. That's how that started. As far as buying product, the Ropes Gone Wild ropes come with a DVD. If you have a rope from somewhere else, buy the DVD. It's $19.95. It will teach you all the movement patterns, really cool stuff. If you want to get into the bandits loops and all those things, the demonstration videos are up on the site. If you're getting into kettlebell training, we've got the clinic video, which gets you started, especially if you're a coach. If you're a coach and you're just not having success teaching this, we are a stickler, and our whole premise here, what we do in our certification, is teaching to teach. You're not coming up here to get your ass kicked. That's a good place to start, is to maybe if you want to get certified or understand how to do this properly, get up here for a certification. You can check out my site. We've got next year I've probably got 15 certifications between myself and Perform Better. The clinic DVD will get your feet wet with that. It'll absolutely give you the right progressions and problem solving. We have Providence, Newport, Firepower, very cool workouts as a progression, get you ready for and get you into real authentic kettlebell training. We just came out with a new book the other day called, as a matter of fact, we've got two products coming out soon. We've got the Santa Monica DVD, which uses barbells, dumbbells, and kettlebells, and ropes. That will be out hopefully in 2 or 3 weeks. We came out with a book called Strength in Motion last Friday. Downloadable or hard copy. If you've been into kettlebells for a while and your programs are getting stagnant and you really want to see what it's like to get into more of the pro style of kettlebell lifting, get this book. It's phenomenal. It will take you through 6 months of progression and get you to go from 30 seconds of work on one side of your body all the way up to 3 minutes of work on one side of your body. And it's just absolutely phenomenal. It takes you through every single progression, every single workout, every day. And we're going to be giving, we already started giving free tips on how to use the book. We're going to do that throughout the year. So we're going to send you videos for free on tips on how to use it, different progressions, different goals you might want to set for yourself in using the book. So there are many, many different ways to get started. We could spend another hour talking about it. So,
Anthony, that's just awesome. And I really appreciate your time because I know you are extremely busy. Things are just blowing up for you, and that's awesome. So I just want to thank you again, wish you all the best and continued success, and I really encourage people to visit your website, artofstrength.com. Thank you so much, Anthony. I appreciate it.
Josh, thank you, and thank all your listeners as well. Thank you.
All right. This is Josh Henkin for StandBackFitnessSystems.com.